It's the season finale.
That you barely knew about.
Hey, you didn't know about it either.
That we no, like I meant like the royal you.
Oh, the royal us.
The royal, you know, the when I say you, I mean the listener, I mean Courtney, I mean also by extension me, I mean just, you know, you. Oh, you.
Welcome back to Ramsey's Recaps, the podcast where we recap Ramsey.
Another day, another dollar.
I'm Courtney, and I'm here with Alana, per usual, as always.
Hello. It's me.
Hello.
I was wondering after you'd like to speak. Meet.
And go on with everything.
I don't know if you can hear my sweet, sweet gulping. But I'm drinking water.
Healthy. I should drink water. I haven't done that today.
Do it right now. We'll wait. The royal we. We'll wait. Are you doing it? Are you drinking water?
I just drank some water.
If I had an air horn, I would use it right now. Bow, 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 bow.
If you're listening to this episode, you should drink some water.
We'll wait, please. Don't stop.
Well, while you're drinking water, let me just tell you the situation for today. So, today we will be breaking down the last part of this season of Kitchen Nightmares, the reboot season, end of season one, end of a era for a second time. I hope they bring it back. I have no idea if they will. I haven't heard anything about it. So if you know, let us know. But, you know, it just ended, so, like, I guess we should give it a minute. And because of that, we will be then breaking for the holidays. Happy holidays. And we will be back in the new year, and we will be picking up where we left off before I took an accidental two-year break from the podcast with Season 3, Episode 10, The Kingston Cafe, and that episode will come out January 17th. So mark your calendars. We'll be back, baby.
You will have to remind me. I am going to forget that that's the day we said.
I'm going to put it on my wall calendar. Don't you worry.
Amazing. I might not show up, but it won't be because I don't want to be there. It will be because I forgot.
Look, logistically, the hard part about doing this podcast these last few weeks has been that we're doing it in real time with the episodes coming out. The nicer part about doing episodes that happened 10 years ago is that we can just, like, watch the whole season and then, like, record episode after episode. Like, it'll be much easier.
That is true.
For everyone involved.
I can do that as long as there are snack breaks involved.
There's always snack breaks involved.
Okay, good.
Speaking of snack breaks, I was making...
This is good. This is good, everybody, if you're listening.
I was making peanut butter cookies before this because I'm doing some markets this weekend. And the peanut butter cookies maybe have some marijuana in them. Maybe.
Some of the devil's lettuce.
The devil's lettuce, if you will. The huid. And, you know, I wasn't, like, intentionally eating the dough. I was just like, I should taste it to see if it tastes good. Because it's cookie dough, you know, and you want to taste it. Not realizing that just the bite of that was going to get me phenomenally high. So I'm not like...
And I have to tell you guys, 5 minutes ago, she discovered that she just instantly got high. And we've been recording for 4 minutes and 8 seconds. That's how recent this was. And also for the record, Courtney is of age and lives in a place where marijuana is legal. So don't call the police, please. Not yet.
Yeah,
not
I'm now. Literally a 30. Like, leave me alone.
But it's important to me. It's important to me that you all know that Courtney is high. And it was like she was in like the middle of a sentence and all of a sudden she became high. And the mechanics of that are so funny.
Do you remember when we went to the dispensary together in college?
And we asked for one weed, please.
We were literally both like, we had both just turned 21. Like, we were babies. And we were in Washington State where weed was legal, and so there was, like, a little dispensary down the street from our university, and so there was one day where we were like, we're of age now, we're in college, we should experiment, and I think I had just smoked weed for the first time, like, a week before that with a different friend of ours, and so I was like, we should, like, go and, like, see what it's about. We both walked into that dispensary, both of us have wild social anxiety, especially 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we both walked in, looked around, and we were shaking. We were like, we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
I don't even remember if you purchased anything. I don't even remember if we got that far.
We did. We purchased a joint, a single joint. It was like $5. The lady, the bud tender behind the counter, she was very helpful. She was like, you guys are children. But we were legal children, so it was okay. And then we took that joint back to our shitty basement apartment, smoked it outside. And then I remember we were watching Archer, but that's all I remember is that we watched Archer and then I fell asleep.
If it helps, I have zero memory of that day. I barely know what day you're talking about.
Exactly my point.
This is always the way our conversation goes when you bring up the story. And then I always say, have you ever seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes. And then you have shown me that one episode. That's the only episode.
The one episode where Dennis and Dee decide that they're going to try smoking crack. And they pick any random black man they see on the street. And they're like, can we, what one rock of crack? Please, but how much would you recommend for a first time user? And I think about that a lot. One crack,
because they were trying to get on welfare.
One crack rock.
Stupid. It's just stupid. So yeah, I'm a known stoner, so I'm okay with it. I also have a whole other podcast where me and Elise purposely get high and watch Glee. So you know, this is not foreign territory to me, but it'll definitely be a fun little finale. It means
this has the possibility to be our best episode.
So today we're going to be talking about an Indian restaurant in Port Washington, New York, which is in Long Island, just past Queens, called D1. It is an Indian restaurant that's been run by a husband and wife team, Bobby and Margaret, for 35 years. It was like the first Indian restaurant in that part of town, I guess, which is really cool. But now, because they've been open for 35 years and Bobby refuses to change anything, except that he changes everything, it's very confusing, this man. This man who refuses to change the menu of the Indian restaurant, but also has opened 25 mini restaurants, like in the second story. It's so weird.
Yeah, it took me a minute to wrap my head around what they were even saying with that.
So I guess because Bobby was feeling like the clientele wasn't like excited by Indian food or something, which is stupid. Everyone loves Indian food. Like, if you make good Indian food, you don't have to do anything.
That is true.
Then I've been on like a huge Indian food kick the last like month and a half. So like, not that I'm an expert, but I've just been eating it a lot lately. So.
You've been an Indian food gal since as long as I've pretty much known you.
Well, yeah, I never had Indian food at a restaurant until I went to England, weirdly. But in high school, I got an Indian cookbook from Powell's because it was like on sale. And I was like, oh, this could be really fun to like learn a completely different cuisine that I've never done before. And so I would just like follow those recipes and make like chana masala and chicken tikka and stuff. So I learned how to cook it before I actually ever ate it, which is weird. But,
that's right.
You know. Yeah, it was a good time. That's what cookbooks are for. Everyone buy a cookbook. I love cookbooks.
Yeah, so the Bobby. So he owned both places. Bobby, he owned both restaurants, correct? He owned the Indian restaurant on the first floor and also the Mexican restaurant on the second floor. And they were both running at the same time.
Yes, because it's the same building. It's the same restaurant. So I don't know how they differentiate. Like, do you just sit downstairs and they're like, oh, you want Indian food, and if you go upstairs you want tacos?
Oh, they're like, pretending to be the same restaurant? I thought that they would just be like, oh, it's our sister restaurant upstairs. I would think that it would have like a different staff, or I guess it was just Bobby, which is fine if it's just like a one-man show. But to have like, but yeah, the Indian floor and the Mexican floor.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's weird because the same kitchen is doing both menus, though. But he's the one cooking everything, even though he has 7 chefs in the kitchen with him, because he's a control freak. Like, none of it makes sense. And then, like, at one point he tells Gordon that he's opened, like, 25 restaurants in the past couple years. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're opening, like, micro restaurants inside of your already established restaurant. That's so confusing.
You could tell this man just wanted to experiment with different types of food, and he just, you can just do that on your own. You can just do that on your off time. You can just make Mexican food for, like, family meal, for staff meal, or just, like, for yourself. It doesn't have to be this. Doesn't have to be all this.
Yeah, and even all of the staff was like, Bobby, you should probably just, like, take a day off, because you have an executive chef here already. But he never took a day off, and so he would just impose all of his, like, weird ideas onto everybody. So they were the first Indian restaurant to open in Port Washington, but now there are, like, 40 to 50 there, because, you know, it's 2023 and there's every food everywhere. And because of that, they've had to dip into their retirement, and they've been putting $100,000 a year into the restaurant from their retirement.
That sucks.
Yeah. And poor Margaret is like, I just want to go to bed. I just want to hang out with my husband. I just want to, like, live life. And Bobby's like, no, the restaurant. I must be here every day. Meh. The poor man who suffers the most, though, is Fernandez.
Oh my god. Fernandez doing God's work.
This saint of a front-of-house man is just doing the best he can in a bad situation. He called the kitchen a hellhole. He goes back there and yells at everybody all the time. And he's like, Bobby, you gotta go. You gotta go.
But he yells at them in the nicest way a person can yell. He always calls them my friend.
Yeah.
Look, my friend, I'm going to need this dish, please. Thank you.
Yeah, he goes back there and he's like, my friend, table 6, I need their food now. They had bad appetizers. Give me their food.
I'm like, it's so lovely. It is the loveliest shouting. He does drop some F-bombs eventually, and they're warranted at the time. But I'm like, what a lovely way to yell with a my friend and a please and a thank you.
Because at one point during when Gordon was there too, he walks back there and he's like, I am without a shirt, I am without pants. Now what do I do? And he just walks back out. And I'm like, oh man. The theme of the inside of the restaurant is very split. It's very neon, with a big portrait of Frida Kahlo in, like, the middle of this, like, neon pink wall. And then the sign on the outside says Diwan, and then underneath it says Kebab Bar, which is confusing.
That is confusing. It didn't seem like this place sold alcohol.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not that the bar means alcohol, but I don't know. That was my first
time. As Gordon's driving in, he recounts that his first ever job as a teenager was working at an Indian restaurant as the dishwasher, and his older sister was the server there, which I thought was really cute.
Yeah, that is cute.
And then he gets to the place, and he's immediately confused by the kebab bar, but he says kebab bar because he's British. And then he walks in and he's like, why is it neon? And then he meets Margaret, and then he meets Bobby for like 2 seconds, and then he sits down to eat. He meets Margaret, who brings up Bobby. Bobby takes him upstairs to, like, see where the Mexican quote-unquote restaurant was, and that's where Bobby says that, like, he opened 25 restaurants in the past couple years. And I'm like, that's insane. Why would you do that? So then Gordon sits down and meets Fernandez, which, like, I have a feeling that if D1 ever did close, Gordon would poach Fernandez for his own restaurant.
Yeah, he kept saying, like, this man is a dream. He's a dream of a server. Yeah. He's got passion. More passion. Like, more passion.
That's the kind of person that he would pull from, like, a random episode of Kitchen Nightmares to be his new, like, maitre d' in fucking Hell's Kitchen. Like,
yeah.
And I would love to see that. I would love Fernandez to be moving on up in the world like that.
I would love to see Fernandez not only become, like, a maitre d', but, like, a reality television star.
Oh, yeah.
Which, speaking of...
He's got a great personality.
You're a Vanderpump Rules person, right?
I have watched most seasons. I'm, like, not caught up in the last couple of years.
You haven't caught up with, like, the Tom Sandoval, Ariana Maddox business?
Oh, no. I do know all of the drama. I just haven't watched that season.
Ariana Maddox is going to be Roxy Hart on Broadway.
just like Erica Jane.
She was announced today that she's going to be in Chicago. And I'm like, bitch, you won. You won. You didn't need that man. Throw him away. You win. And she almost won Dancing with the Stars just now.
It sucks because, like, in the first few seasons of Vanderpump Rules, the two Toms are truly, like, the only good guy characters, which makes, like, which made me like them. And then as the seasons went on, I was like, yeah, these guys, all these men just fucking suck. Like, all of them. Jax especially, but we all knew that, so.
Anyway, yeah. Everything's coming up, Vanderpump Ariana. Rules.
Love that for her. Her, she and Erica Jane have the same timeline right now, which is kind of weird. We love Real Housewives. So, Gordon orders, he orders the deluxe mixed grill, which is just like a little bit of everything from the grill onto a big plate. He gets the cauliflower Manchurian, I think they called it. Hummus is on the menu for some weird reason. And Gordon's like, why is hummus on the menu? And Fernandez is like, I don't fucking know, dude. he gets the lamb Rogan Josh. I'm so sorry. I cannot pronounce these words. He gets fish curry.
And I'm just letting biryani. You do it. I'm just letting you flounder. I'm not helping at all.
He gets biryani. He gets samosas. He gets naan. And he gets rice. So he gets all his food, he orders, and then he looks at the menu again, and he comments that the prices are kind of outrageous. It's $42 for the deluxe mixed grill, it's like $30 for a curry, and I'm like, I don't even pay more than $20 for Indian food in New York City. Like, Indian food should not be more than like $30.
Yeah, that one dish that was like $42, like absurd. Absurd.
Yeah, absurd. You're getting, like, three shrimp, three pieces of lamb, and three pieces of chicken. Like, you're not getting, like, three whole meals.
No, that should be $25 at most. That's a $25 dish.
Because, like, the thing with food like this is, like, usually you order your main dish, and it comes with, like, rice and naan sometimes.
Exactly.
So you're paying $18, but you're getting chicken tikka, rice, and naan. Like, you're getting a full meal, you know? So he gets the appetizers. The hummus is just covered in, like, vegetable oil, he says. It does not look like olive oil. He, like, drips it out. He gets the cauliflower Manchurian, which I guess is sweet and sour cauliflower, but it's a Chinese dish.
Yeah, that is what Fernandez said.
So, also confusing. He gets his lamb. He doesn't like it. The fish curry, he says, was terrible. It had barely any fish in it. The biryani was not a biryani because it wasn't cooked like it should be. Like, the point of it is that everything is cooked together with the rice, like a fried rice. But it was, like, all layered on top of a bowl of, like, just regular basmati rice, which is not how that should be. The samosas were bland, and it was a big contention because they were supposedly made that morning. But then it cuts back to the kitchen, and we learned that they were made a day and a half ago. Or, like, a day before yesterday or something. But the cook who says that is currently making fresh samosas. And Fernandez is like, I'm feeding Gordon Ramsay. Why would you give me old samosas?
Yeah, why would you wait until after you gave him, the last ones in the batch and then make new ones? I felt bad for him. I felt bad for poor Fernandez right in that moment.
He was doing his best. He was trying his best.
But I'm also, like, I'm always in the camp, and people are always upset about it, but I'm like, when you have asked Gordon Ramsay to be there, what's, like, the point of impressing him? You know? You brought him here truly. Because you know that you suck. You should just be doing it how you normally do it. Like, I know that you're nervous because he's, like, a famous guy, but, like, you asked him here to help you find the thing that's wrong, and if you are inauthentic about it by being surprisingly better than normal, it won't help. You won't learn anything.
Well, then he gets his deluxe mixed grill, and then he looks at the prawns, and they're, like, bright yellow, and then the chicken tikka is, like, bright red. And so he's like, Fernandez, do they use food coloring on the prawns to make them look like the color they should be? And Fernandez is like, oh, for fuck's sake, yeah, let me go ask. And he goes back there, and the chef is like, no, we only use yellow. And Fernandez is like, that's food dye.
He could have gotten away with it and said it was turmeric. It would have been the easiest lie in the universe. And he chose not to do
it. So they're using food dye on the color to make it like the turmeric yellow or the like masala red that it should be, I guess. Which I have never heard of, but I guess it is like a, because everything was bland, which means they're not using spices, which
is
which
like
stupid.
Isn't that what Indian cooking is? Isn't that why Indian it's better than white people? Like,
it's literally all of the spices. Like, they use all of them.
Yeah, like, it's, like, almost impressive, frankly.
Yeah, it's almost impressive that all of your Indian food was bland when you have all of the spices.
When it so famously makes white people shit themselves because they're not used to spice. It's, like, so famously that. I'm talking about me. I'm the white person. That's why I say it with such confidence, because it's me. I'm the one.
It's me.
Hi.
So poor Fernandez is doing his best. Gordon finishes his meal and he's like, all right, let me sit down with Bobby and Margaret and do a one-on-one. He tells Bobby that the food is bad and Bobby's like, no, you're just British.
And Gordon was like, say that, didn't he?
Yeah. He was like, oh, I think he just has different tastes because he's British. And I'm like, if there's one thing British people do know, it's fucking Indian food. Like, I'm sorry. Like, they have good Indian food over there.
Yeah, famously.
And Gordon has worked in Indian restaurants. He, he does know Indian food.
It's, like, famously good Indian food because of colonialism.
Yeah, because we can't, because I didn't, we didn't know it. We're American.
Because Courtney, you specifically.
I colonized India. Yes, with all my British heritage that I have.
Yes.
That's your people, isn't it?
It was actually kind of me. Was a little bit
My family's Spanish. We colonized Mexico. Come on.
Okay,
right.
So you're fine.
Yeah, we did the other colonization.
Amazing.
So, as Gordon is talking to Bobby and Margaret, he's, like, telling Bobby all of these things about how, like, it's kind of crusty, you need to, like, ramp up the menu, your prices are too high, like, all of this, like, stuff. Margaret's just, like, smiling the whole time. Did you notice that?
I did not.
She's just, like, smiling the whole time that Gordon is, like, tearing Bobby a new one. And I'm like, is she smiling because she's, like, happy finally somebody's telling him how it is? But then later, she just is, like, kind of vacant. So I'm like, is she just smiling because that's just her, like, her resting face? I was so confused.
It might
her.
Just be her resting she's... face. I would honestly believe that.
Resting joy face. So Bobby keeps blaming the customers on not coming back for the reason why the restaurant is not doing well. And that, like, the customer base has changed and, like, young people don't like his restaurant anymore. And it's like, yeah, because you don't do anything. Also during, I don't know why this episode they made a big stink of this, but during Gordon eating lunch, he was like, what's the restaurant's Instagram? What's the Instagram like? And he's like, you haven't posted anything since, like, 2021. Your Instagram is bad. And it's like, okay, why are we pushing social media on this episode?
Yeah, does this guy look like he'd be good at that?
Yeah, does 68-year-old Bobby from India look like he'd be good at social media? Like, I don't think he and Margaret really, like, do anything.
Yeah, no, take one fucking look at this guy, Gordon, and tell me why you're surprised that the social media is bad and why you're yelling at him about that.
Yeah, they don't have any young people in the restaurant. Like, come on.
Yeah. See, yeah, seriously, who's going to do it?
I don't know. Some, like, teenager dishwasher. So they have seven chefs in the kitchen, but Bobby is still cooking every day. He literally comes in every day. He says he works, like, 50, 60 hours a week. He also says at one point, they're like, ugh, $100,000 a year is nothing. And I was like, Bobby, what? So he's losing money because he wants to experiment. Margaret's just there. And then Gordon does a weird little bit where he goes and meets with the community to see, like, why the restaurant doesn't appeal to them. And they just say everything that he already said. So I don't know why this was necessary.
I got weird vibes from that. I'm sure it's just editing. But it seemed like... So the juicy thing that I wanted to know was like, how exactly did we get here? Because all of them say, yeah, we come here all of the time. It's quite bad. And now we don't. And I'm like, what's missing is the point in time between now and 1988 when it opened, where the quality yes. began to decline. What year was that? Was that 1990? Or was it 2020? You know? Like, because Gordon is eating next to a couple that says, like, we're regulars. We come here all the time. Which is crazy, because apparently the food is disgusting. and those people are like, yeah, we come here all of the time. The prices are high and the food's not very good. I'm like, then why are you continuing to come here? I want to know when it all went bad. It must have went bad sometime. And no one had an answer for that. Just like, yeah, we come here all the time. It's bad now.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. It doesn't make any sense. Something fishy.
We were missing something.
Well, then we get to dinner service, and Bobby is running the kitchen, and he won't let any chef do anything without his permission. He literally has to say, yes, you can do that. The head chef, Nilesh?
I think it was Nilesh.
I'm so sorry for not knowing your name correctly. He isn't allowed to do anything, so he just kind of stands there. Fernandez says that the kitchen is always messing up, and then Bobby gets behind the line while everyone is just waiting, and he won't speak to anyone. There's a scene where they're, like, all running around the kitchen dramatically, and then Bobby sets, like, a pan down on the cutting board, and it just fucking breaks off
the
table.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then we never address that again. We never go back to that. So, don't know what happened there. Maybe they just picked it up, wiped it off, and said it's good.
That might have been what they did. That would check out, gets chaotic. Frankly.
Yeah. Everything gets chaotic very quickly. Some people aren't liking the food, and so Fernandez is, like, very frantically trying to, like, run back there and get them to get out food faster because people have been waiting too long. Nilesh says that he's been a chef for 26 years, but nobody will let him take over, even though he does have the title of executive chef. Fernandez is the only one who seems to know what he's doing during dinner service.
Yeah, that poor guy.
And then Bobby is, like, just whistling, cooking in the kitchen at his own pace. And in one of the talking head moments, he's like, you know, people have different emotions. What?
You know, sometimes Bobbert. People feel stuff.
Bobbert. And then nobody knows what's going to what table. Like, they're just kind of making food and then sending it out in pieces. Like, no table is getting all of their food at once. So
that
is
so endlessly frustrating as a server. I can't tell you how many times that's happened, and you watch it happen, and there's nothing you can do. Where they're just, yeah, they are not communicating. They're just cooking whatever is supposed to be made for their station. And you'll have 8 tables that all have 2 out of 3 dishes. And it's a fucking nightmare.
Because they're not communicating. They're just doing whatever they want. Because Bobby is just standing silently, cooking everything, and everyone's just, like, waiting for him to decide to, like, put a dish out.
Yeah.
So, Gordon is getting frustrated by all of this, and so he decides it's time to go to the scariest place in the world, which is the basement of a restaurant in New York City, or in New York in general. So, he goes down to this damp-ass, dank-ass, moldy-ass basement.
It was all those things.
It was just immediately, like, so... You could tell it was just wet down there. Like, it was just always wet. Which is not what you want when you're storing food.
No, yeah, that's just... That's Mold City, baby. It's Mold City, baby.
They zoom in on this, like, rando handprint on the wall, which is pretty funny.
I was like, yeah, someone is... I was like, is there gonna be a dead body down here?
They showed, like, the nastiest bathroom in the world. And I think there was a shower in that bathroom, which
is
insane.
Why is that down there? They should not be using that ever. But they do. They should be regularly cleaning it.
That's a Saw bathroom. That's where Jigsaw leaves you when he's, like, going to kill you. So then Gordon opens up these, like, busted-ass chest freezers. And they are literally overflowing with frozen food. It is, like, bags of chicken and shrimp and prawns and vegetables and God knows what else. He pulls out, like, a milk crate full of these thin hamburger patties that are so frozen that he just, like, hits it and it shatters like glass.
And like, what are like, they using that for?
Meat chunks.
What dish is that for? There's...
Why do they have hamburgers?
Why is it a
they're
hamburger
They're not serving
patty.
Burgers.
No, they're not. They should be serving, like, if they're serving anything with steak, which they don't really have, usually, in an Indian restaurant.
I have never been to an Indian restaurant. Like, maybe once or twice I've seen beef on a menu, but there's typically not beef at Indian restaurants. They don't really eat beef. Like...
I wonder if it's leftover from, if it's the bones of the Mexican restaurant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of the shit in these freezers is, like, leftovers from these, like, remnants of restaurants that he's wanted to start for some reason.
Oh my god, the freezers gave me so much, they made me so stressed out. They just look like your dad's freezer at home.
Yeah, like, the chest freezer in the garage, you know?
Like, it's just everything. It's, like, the meat and, like, the frozen corn and stuff. I was like, I don't care for this. I don't care for this shit at all.
Yeah, it's all the fish your dad caught while he was in Mexico, plus all the shit your mom bought at Costco. Like, you know? But, like, yeah. A year old.
Absolutely.
And then he goes into the walk-ins, and the walk-ins are so scary. They're so dark. And there's just, like, tubs of, like, curry. Just, like, a lot of tubs of just random curries. And he picks up a tub of carrots, and he says the carrots are so old they've been practicing yoga.
Which I did laugh like, at those that, are not gonna lie.
It was very funny, because these are carrots that you could, like, bend in half and they won't break. Like, that's a carrot you could slap somebody with, and it would fucking hurt, you know?
Yeah.
And then he of course picks up the raw chicken bucket and has to dump the raw chicken juice everywhere. So
that is his whatever. MO, isn't it? He does love to do that.
He just loves to dump grease and raw chicken everywhere. I don't, Gordon, why? I know it's for dramatic effect, but they gotta clean that, and it's so gross. That's so much salmonella. You're just like, that's like dumping a bucket of salmonella into somebody.
Like, yeah, and then to make them like, I mean, they already have to deep clean the whole place, but like you don't pour it into a sink or something. Don't be that bitch.
Yeah, be better than John Taffer. John Taffer does that too, and I just like am not a fan of it sometimes. So he doesn't shut down the place, which is surprising to me, but then they do a staff meeting with Gordon takes Bobby, Nilesh, and Fernandez down into the basement to look at everything, basically, and to be like, what the fuck is all of this? And he's kind of like putting on Nilesh too for not, because he's the head chef and he should be down there cleaning this stuff too, but he's like, nobody cares. Like, Bobby's been so overbearing to everybody and all of this stuff has just been accumulating that it seemed like an impossible task at some point probably. And Nilesh was just like, it doesn't fucking matter anyways, because I'm not the head chef, even
though
I am.
Like, I had to put the overflow somewhere. Like, I had to put the extra meat somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's why there was cooked chicken with raw chicken.
Yeah, because there's no room because all this frozen shit is in the chest freezers. So this is when Bobby decides that he wants to change. So at least there's that. Gordon's opened his eyes a little bit. And
yeah,
then we cut from
really,
this.
We talked about it in the last episode. Like, they really geared it up for this to be, like, really bad. But they took this, they were champs about this. Gordon was like, you guys need to step it up. And both Bobby and Nilesh were like, yeah, you're right. And I'm going to. And we're going to do that now. And then they totally just, like, took it on the chin and, like, deep cleaned it. And there was never a problem for, like, basically the rest of the time. Like, everyone was just chill to do it. And I was like, that's nice. That's not how they set this up to be. And I'm glad that it was.
Yeah. Like, I don't know where Bobby saw that he was actually wrong. But I guess maybe having Gordon point out just the three chest freezers full of fucking food that he was hoarding, that maybe that opened his eyes to be like, I am losing my way a little bit.
So the thing that is inappropriate is that there was, like, shit on the floor. Like, that was the final straw for me. Like, not only was all this stuff just thrown around, but there was, like, slop on the floor. Like, all over the floor in all places. And when there is slop on the floor, that's when the flies come, when there's, like, open food containers and stuff like that. So, once there's slop on the floor, man.
You would hate So very famously, they did an Indian restaurant in season one of Kitchen Nightmares. And have you seen that episode? It was an
You'll
Indian
have to give
restaurant
me more information.
It was an Indian restaurant in Times Square, and it was so disgusting and full of bugs. Like, every surface of
the
fridge area
was
covered in bugs. Their kitchen was so disgusting. Like, yeah. So, like, you know.
You know,
not a great track record. Freeze. Like, I don't know what it is about, like, New York restaurants, but you're gonna have bugs, and you just gotta be prepared to deal with it.
You cannot have them. I know. Like, you cannot allow it to happen.
You gotta get the exterminator in there.
I don't care that it's just New York. I don't care. It's not a good enough reason.
No. I don't even like it when I see bugs on the subway, and that's underground. So... So, they do renovation. The restaurant looks much nicer. They have, like, these pretty tablecloths on the tables. They've repainted everything to not be neon. They've made it look like an Indian restaurant, which is what everyone... Which was, honestly, everyone's biggest critique was that it didn't look like an Indian restaurant.
Yeah.
So, they made it look like an Indian restaurant. And then they bring in the new menu, and everyone gets to try it. And then they bring in Maureen from Next Level Chef to help with social media stuff. Yay.
She looked nice.
Love that. And then she's helping Bobby, like, take pictures of food and stuff. And then Bobby is like, hashtag Gordon Ramsay. Hashtag Devon Delicious. Hashtag what is hashtag?
He was so sweet about it. He was so sweet, old man.
He did very quickly turn into, like, your grandpa on Instagram, which I did like.
Yeah.
Also, Margaret's outfit for relaunch night was beautiful. She was wearing, like, this beautiful blue, like, Indian...
Saris are so beautiful.
Sari, yeah.
They're so,
so
pretty.
They're so pretty. Have you ever seen, you know, Indian weddings, how they're, like, three-day
yes.
affairs, and
I
everyone just looks
one.
Gorgeous? I want to go to one, too.
Because I
don't have
wear
any
one.
Indian friends.
We should make some. No, don't say, don't use that.
No. Cut that out. Cut that. So, Margaret looks beautiful in her, like, blue sari. Bobby is out of the kitchen. Nilesh is in charge now. Everything's going great. Bobby's, like, schmoozing with the guests. He gets to talk to his customers and, like, be an owner. And then... It was about this point where he was, like, schmoozing, where I was like, where's the drama? Where's the, like, hiccup in relaunch night? And the hiccup is that Bobby just, like, goes back into the kitchen and puts on an apron and starts cooking.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
And Gordon is like, no! And he literally tells Margaret to sit down at a table, and he's like, I'm gonna go get Bobby, I'll be right back. And then he goes into the kitchen, and he, like, is like, Bobby. And Bobby comes over, and Gordon, like, takes the apron off of him, and he's like, no, you're coming with me. And he makes him sit down with his wife, and he's like, you guys are gonna eat dinner, enjoy your evening. And then Fernandez comes over and is like, hi, I'm Fernandez, I'll be taking care of you tonight.
That's so good.
So they got Bobby out of the kitchen, and everything was fine. Like, nothing bad actually happened. So, you know. And food's coming out good. Everything's good. Gordon says goodbye to everyone, and he leaves, and everything's good. And they're still open. And 2 months later, they're doing great. And Fernandez is having a great time. Yeah, that's the end.
Yeah, it could have been so much worse. I thought this was going to be a much spicier episode than it was. But, like, deep down, everyone did kind of want to just, like, do a good job. Like, that was the core at the end of the day.
I think it helped that everyone who was there had been there for, like, a decade or two. this was a restaurant of people who'd been working together for forever.
I hope that Bobby gets to experiment with his different cuisines. I hope that's his, like, hobby in his retirement.
Like, how fun. Like, Bobby, you go home and you're like, today I want to learn how to make, like, a tater tot casserole. Let's make some white people food. And then you bring it in for family meal. And then you
which
give
is
it
just
to
potatoes
everyone.
And like, mayonnaise. And, yeah, you serve that.
Yeah. And then everyone eats it. And they're like, oh my god, Bobby, it's so good.
yeah, today I want to make Chinese food. Today I want to
make
Thai food.
Yeah,
make
some sweet and sour chicken.
Yeah, I hope that he gets that.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah, I hope he also, like, gets to take days off, too.
Yeah, well, he should. I hope he just retires. You can own the restaurant and be retired and still, like, stop by.
I'm looking up directions to this place, and it's, like, not impossible to get to, but it's in a direction I've never gone before, as in Long Island, so I'm, like, scared.
Go to Long Island.
I've never been to Long Island. For
maybe it's time
any
to
extended... So I can go to, do you want, I do love Indian food. I would travel for some good ass Indian food.
Yeah.
So.
Bring a friend.
I don't have any. I've never had a friend in my life.
You ain't never had a friend like me.
Do your friends do this? Anyways, thank you everyone for watching. Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Well, that too. Thank you for watching the, when you're on Spotify, thank you for watching the little green tracker go all the way to the end.
Thank you for watching Kitchen Nightmares. Keep watching it so it can come back.
Yeah, you know, we don't know when the new season airs. It could everything. Be any time.
I assume if they're gonna make a new one, they're gonna film it
like
similar
now.
To how they did this year.
Yeah.
Or they're filming it now, yeah. And hopefully they're in a different place that's not New York. Maybe they chose a different locale. Maybe they're in Vegas. Maybe they're in LA. California. California. But yeah, thank you everyone for listening to this like new season of Ramsay's Recaps.
Yeah, we
I'm
did
sorry
it.
I'm sorry again that I took an accidental 2-year break. I did not mean to. But, you know, it happens. So.
It
but
does
we're back,
happen.
And we did it.
We did it. Honor. What an honor and a privilege it is to be doing this for you guys and for you, Courtney.
Aw, thanks. Having Alana as a permanent co-host means that I have to do this, so.
There's a podcast I listen to called Gabbing with Babish, where it's three comedians that specifically watch episodes of Binging with Babish, the YouTube channel, and they talk about it, and that's the podcast. But the way that it's set up is that it's like two hosts and then a guest. But the guest has been the same guest for 250 episodes, and every time they introduce him as the guest, it makes me giggle like a small child. It's so funny. So I can be your semi-permanent guest host if that's what you would prefer. It's just me every time though.
This week on Ramsay's Recaps, my guest is very special. I love her very much. I've known her for a long time. It's Alana Fineman, everyone.
That's what they do on Gabbing with Babish. That's exactly what they do. They've never had any other person other than Joe Strix. It's never, they've never even had like four. Or if someone can't go, they don't replace that person. If Joe can't come, the other two just do it. If one of the other two can't do it, then it's just the host and their guest, Joe Strix. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Shout out to Binging with Babish. Shout out to Gabbing with Babish. They're not listening, but that's okay.
They should. Food Podcast Unite. But yeah, Last Podcast on the Left used to do that in the, like, first couple hundred episodes. They introduced, Marcus and Ben, and then special guest Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's been the co-host for 10 years. Like,
yeah. It's exactly
special
that.
Guest.
So that's
They me. Don't I'm do that anymore, but...
I'm your special guest.
Yeah. Special guest. Still on a fine woman.
That's me.
Elena Finneman? Is that... Did I say that right?
You know, that's pretty close.
That's not the truth, Alan.
It's not the truth, but I will respond to it.
Actually, Ellen.
It's not the truth, Ellen.
So yeah, I think I did great this episode, despite being a little high.
You were surprisingly normal.
Thank you. I was focusing really hard.
Courtney in her mic, just like sweating.
I'm just like staring at my notes going, okay, and this is where we left off. And like, I can't lose my place now.
You did great.
But that's why every time you would interrupt the conversation, I would just bring it back to my next note. Because I was like, and then this happened. I mean, like, I don't know what to say.
But also, that's called being a host. So that's okay.
Yeah. I'm the boring one who tells the story, and you're the fun one who gets to chime in.
So. And you know what? That's how I would like it to be. It's how God intended.
We're like, together we are the Muppet, the old man Muppets from Muppets.
Or Statler and Waldorf.
That is my final form, is being Statler and or Waldorf.
And or. I don't know which one's which. I really don't.
I do think that I'm the one that's like more oval with the big nose, and you're the shorter one with the mustache.
I don't understand, but I'll take it. I don't get it, but I will abide by it.
If we were Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker, who would be who?
Your Beaker. I was going to say unfortunately, Beaker. I'm probably Beaker.
I was thinking you're Beaker.
I wish I wasn't.
No, you're Camilla the chicken.
Okay, I don't want to be that duo. I don't want to be Gonzo and Camilla the chicken. Camilla the chicken, like, no, dies a lot.
We'll be Rizzo and Gonzo if we're going to be that.
That's
duo.
Accurate. And you're Rizzo and I'm Gonzo. And that I would stake my life on.
I'm specifically Rizzo in like Muppets Take Manhattan, where he's just like fully like, whatever. Which is also one of the only Muppets movie I've seen. So, unfortunately,
so we used to
Muppets...
own two, and one of them was Muppets Take Manhattan, and I forget what the other one was, but like there was one that I only watched once as a small child, and it traumatized me because Kermit got like hit by a car and had amnesia, and that made me so sad. And now you need to verify Muppets for me if that was Muppets Take Manhattan.
I'm pretty sure that's what that is,
because that bummed me the fuck out, and so I watched it, I don't know, 23 years ago, and I've never watched it since.
So, similar but different, I watched Muppet Treasure Island for the first time ever, like, 2 years ago.
Oh, see, I'm pretty sure I watched Muppet Treasure Island for the first time when I was, like, 1.5.
And it changed your brain chemistry.
That movie's a part of me. I have seen it so many goddamn times. It is ingrained into my DNA.
I don't think I've ever seen Muppet Christmas Carol.
It's a classic. It always hits. Muppets always hit.
I mean, yeah. My favorite Muppets was at Disneyland, actually, in California Adventure.
I don't think I ever even saw that one.
You never went to the Muppets 4D theater? It was so fun. It was really fun. I liked it. But it's not there anymore, because it's probably like a Marvel thing now.
It's nothing.
So, it's probably Avatar Land, because they took Bug's life away.
Oh, that's right? Avengers.
They took Bug's life away, right?
They did. It's Avengers Campus now.
Aww. Well, if you want me to go to Disneyland to experience it for the first time in 10 years, subscribe to our Patreon.
That's such a specific, like, call to action.
Last little bit. Sorry, we're just rambling now because we like talking. But so, Last Podcast on the Left, when they first started their Patreon, they had $1 million tier, but it was just that they would go on vacation with you anywhere you wanted to go.
For $1 million? That's pretty smart.
Yeah, so they're like, if you give us $1 million, we'll go to Disney World with you.
Is the price of that included in the $1 million? Or is if you give me $1 million, then you have to then pay for an additional vacation that we go on with you?
No, I think they would pay for you. Because you gave them $1 million.
Yeah.
So I think the nicest thing to do would be for them to at least pay for your flight and hotel.
And I'm also going to do that.
You're going to add $1 million tier and you'll say, I'll go to Disneyland with you.
I think on April Fool's Day, I'm going to add that.
Well, it's all fun and games until somebody gives you $1 million.
Okay, but yeah, but then I have $1 million.
But then you have to go to Disneyland with that person. And what if they're weird?
I would say you have to, the contingency is that I get to bring somebody.
Yeah, you get to bring a plus one.
Who's going to make sure I'll be your bodyguard. Going to get murdered, yeah.
Yeah, I will show up dressed as, like, the bodyguard from Hannah Montana.
Yes. As Roxy.
Yeah. Just, Roxy like fully ready to fight anyone who's going to try and do any funny business on the Matterhorn.
Anyone that's going to, like, chop me up into pieces. That's mostly what I'm worried about.
Chop my life into pieces.
I also thought that as soon as I said it.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to another season of Ramsey's Recaps. We'll be finishing out season 3 in January and then moving on to season 4 and then 5 and then 6 and then I think that's it.
And then no, 7 and then 8 and then 9.
8 was technically the season we just watched, I believe. So okay, word. We'll just start over, or maybe there'll be a new season out, or we'll go to Hotel Hell, which is a whole other venture that I actually would really love to dig my fingers into. Because Hotel Hell, if you think Kitchen Nightmares is frustrating, Hotel Hell is so fucking frustrating to watch. Everyone on that show is stupid. Because you're not only dealing with, like, a dumb chef and a dumb restaurant owner, you're dealing with a dumb chef and a dumb hotel owner. And it's, like, two different... It's incredible. But yeah. See y'all next year. 2024,
yeah,
baby.
Happy New Year, I guess.
Happy New Year. We did it. We survived another one.
Hell yeah.
Despite all odds. Against all odds. We made it. In spite of everything, it's still you.
It's just you.
Well, bye.
Bye! I'm gonna stop recording now.